A little turn of loving on a Mason-Dixon line fits my life. Oh, so right.
Welcome back to the Jeff Porter Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on this Monday morning. Text line 251-343-0106. If you want to be in touch with the show, hit us up there. Joining us now on the line, we do this every other Monday, but our friend Shane Stringer, state representative from Citronelle, joins us on the line. Representative, good morning. How are you?
Hey, doing great, Jeff. Thank you for having me on.
Hey, thanks for coming on. We always appreciate it. Let's start here. Are you keeping up with the Alabama High School Athletic Association drama?
Yeah, I've been watching that. And, you know, pleased with what the governor and the attorney general's done and the lawsuit and getting an injunction put on there. I think it's time that, you know, we kind of get some boundaries and balance in place with those guys.
Yeah, and they seem to kind of there's a contempt almost for the legislature and the governor, and this goes back, you know, various circumstances. I believe Arthur Orr said it on Dale's show last week. This might be the straw that breaks the camel's back.
Yeah, I think it might be, and truthfully, it needs to be. Something's got to be done with those guys. You know, like they're operating with no checks and balances and just doing what they want when they want. And to blatantly defy the legislation that we passed with the School Choice Act is unacceptable.
It's arrogant, and they operate with impunity. It's funny to watch because they will, you know, we don't, you know, politicians come and go. The law, we're not. It's almost like they think they have an immunity to what the law says.
Yeah, and, you know, we've seen it with other issues over the years since I've been up there. And, you know, I think there's been some barking at them and, you know, trying to get them to get in line or whatever and do the right thing. And they don't, you know, always seem to want to do that. So it's going to be interesting to see. You know, I was glad that the governor stepped up and went ahead and took the stance she did, and, you know, let's get the ball rolling through the courts to get this open up so we didn't affect any of the students in their, you know, their sports, which could be their, might be their senior year, their last year of high school sports. So didn't want to disrupt or interrupt that in no way form.
Yeah, and, but, you know, if you guys get back next year and you're looking at this, do you have any sense of, like, what, how far could it go, or how much time you would put into it? The fourth year of a quadrennium, would we see something significant, or at least we're talking about it, I suppose.
Yeah, I think it's a popular topic for the constituents. People want something done about it. So, you know, I don't see no reason why we would not address that. Of course, it comes down to Speaker Ledbetter and what direction he wants to go, but I would be willing to bet that there's enough upset people across the state that wants to see something done. So it's very likely that this will get addressed this coming up session.
Well, the speaker, I mean, and he was on the program Friday. He sounds very engaged on this, and there's this element to it. It's one thing to kind of operate the way they do and operate without any kind of a disregard for what the public says or whatever. But they seem to have really upset two very, very important people in Alabama with the governor and the speaker. And I would say this about the governor. We've seen it before, Representative. I mean, you get on her bad side and suddenly she's very, very motivated to do something about it.
Oh, absolutely. You know, and the thing is, man, the school choice bill was such a popular issue with our citizens here in Alabama and across the country. And for them to go in and basically disregard or try to use it for bad really upset a lot of people. And I think that it's going to backfire on them in the long run.
Yeah, and then they're not really playing it smart at all. They're testing the boundaries, and I think they're going to I think they're going to at least pay some kind of price ultimately. So we'll see what happens there. Next question seems to be getting a little traction, and I know I haven't asked you about this in the past, but the state's contribution to public broadcasting, are you looking at, I mean, have you ever thought about it? And you know, we saw what Trump did with the rescission package. Should the legislature start looking at what they're putting money into there?
Absolutely. You know, we've, you know, the topic has came up over like the health department, a lot of the money that they've put into pushing vaccine information out across the states and billboards and at high schools and high school stadiums and stuff like that. So, yeah, it's definitely been on the radar of everyone. And, you know, of course, I think sometimes you don't, you know, don't pay it attention until you're doing budgets and you come across it again. But yeah, I think it's time to look at it and let's make sure we're being smart with our advertising, with our money and our budgets, and make sure that we're not just funding the wrong programs for no reason.
Yeah, people are starting to scrutinize it a little bit more than they had in the past. Like, what are we getting out of this? Because what led to this question was Huntsville, the Alabama Public Radio affiliate up there, is shutting down a lot of their programming, and they're blaming, you know, the rescission package. And what it looks like to me, it's almost like a political ploy to say, hey, you take away our funding, there's consequences. There's no, hey, we need to be meaner, leaner, and you know, put the product out that we're putting out. And my colleague in radio, Dale Jackson, talks about this all the time. They have a gold-plated budget to do what they do, and they're unable to do that. But this idea that they're gonna like cease programming, it seems like a political move to me.
Yeah, absolutely it is. And we see that across politics in general. You know, every time we try to address an issue with a agency or something within the state, you know, of course, they just try to shut down everything and going to show us or show the governor what they will and won't do and can and can't do. But, you know, I think, if the governor and her staff and the legislature will, you know, go through and give them what they need and what's needed, and let's evaluate what's wasteful spending, then I think, and get rid of the people that are not falling in line. I mean, this is an agenda of our state, and we want to make sure that we're being wise and prudent with the taxpayers' money. Let's go in there and get rid of the ones that are not being team players and not falling in line with what the governor and what the state is trying to accomplish.
Well, that's just it, right? It's like we're having this appropriation, if you will, almost being used against the politics of the state, because all these things lean left are come out from a very leftist center viewpoint, prism they view the world from. And it's not really something that I think serves the bulk of the people in the state. It's a very niche thing.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and it definitely needs a looking at and seeing what we can do to try to address that problem. But, you know, it's not uncommon to see kickback and pushback from people that are not, I guess, team players or not on board with the changes that the governor or legislature is trying to make and basically following the needs and desires of our citizens. So personally, I think we need to go in and let's replace people that are not doing their job and not falling in line and doing what they're supposed to do.
Well, I mean, there's just an attitude like that from like a lot of these, I don't know, lead institutions is the word, but certainly state agencies that we know better. High school athletics, I would include public broadcasting, but also things that are like directly under the umbrella of state government. Some of these boards and, you know, occupational boards and licensing boards and things like that. operate with a sense of impunity that they don't, you know, they don't necessarily answer to these guys or whatever. Or they hire up the best lobbyists and they, you know, you have government lobbying government trying to keep bills. And that's just a bizarre notion. If you don't really, you see it every day in Montgomery in the state house and you're like, yeah, well, that's just how it is. But from the outside looking in, you're like, that is weird that this state agency has a very high-priced lobbyist working for them.
Yeah, we've seen that, or I've seen it since I've been in the legislature. And, you know, we're dealing with it right here in Mobile, where the Malls Water Board is making decisions that, you know, should be made by somebody higher than them, you know, either health department or the governor or someone like that. But instead, they've made the decision to shut down a body of water that has been used for recreational use in our state forever. And we're seeing that across the state in a lot of capacities, not just the Malls Water Board, but in a lot of areas, you know, we're dealing with. I know in some of the changes I've tried to make with ABC Board and trying to address that, you know, they've done some of the same tactics of trying to slow down or shut down or make excuses why they can't do something. And I think it's time that we get out of that mindset and let's come up with ways to do our job and do it more efficiently.
Yeah, I mean, you would think as a lawmaker that, you know, your biggest opponent sometimes is the, you know, the balance of power. And we know we all learn judiciary, legislative, and executive, but your biggest obstacle is the other branch of power. But it's like they work against you in a way that's not, it's not the governor, it's not a top-down approach. It's like these independent agencies all hired their own government affairs person or whatever, and they've been effective. You can't deny it, and it's made it Montgomery what it is.
Yeah, absolutely. They've been very strategic in their methods and what they're doing, and very smart with it, and can't blame them for that, but I do blame them for not doing their job and doing it efficiently and doing what the governor's agenda is, you know, trying to reach her agenda and doing what's best for our state, you know, like passing these pieces of legislation like the CHOOSE Act and for the High School Athletics Association to come in there and basically just totally disregard it and try to do what they wanted to do and basically prove a point. I think that kind of behavior has got to go away.
Last question, we'll get you out of here on this. You see anything on the municipal elections, any of them that caught your eye a couple weeks ago?
No, everything kind of went, for the most part, as expected. You know, I think Mobile's got a big election coming up, and hopefully their citizens will get out and vote. I know the turnout for runoff elections are sometime low, but I'm hoping that they will not be in this one, and they'll realize the importance of getting out and voting and exercising their right.
Well, that whole Malls discussion, I mean, that ought to figure in prominently to this mayoral election, you know, and some of the other things. And it's not just Mobile. There's other runoffs, I suppose. But I would say this, and this is not necessarily a South Alabama thing, although in Baldwin County, well, you had two or three incumbents lose unexpectedly. Baymanette, Robert Stell, Summerdale, maybe. I can't remember, but is there an anti, do you sense any like anti-incumbent movement that could impact 26?
You know, I think that people can seem to be more engaged. There's more people willing to run for office and get out and stick their neck out to try to affect change or whatever. And I think a lot of that's following the movement that Trump has brought in a lot of his change. And, you know, he's showing people that things are possible and change is possible and that we don't just have to accept the status quo. So I think there's, you know, yeah, it's got a potential to affect that coming up.
I mean, we'll have a new governor next year for sure. But I guess the question is, what will that look like? Everybody expects the new governor to really change things, but I guess a lot of it will depend on how many of you and your colleagues get reelected next year.
Yeah, that's true. You know, and we're already starting to see some that have decided not to run. We've seen some that have opposition coming out already. So it's going to be interesting to watch it play out. You know, government typically works out the way it's supposed to. We do run into some bumps in the road and hiccups here and there, but you know, typically we do have enough new faces and new ideas that come into the legislature that helps keep us moving in the right direction.
Yeah, we'll see. But you know, it is very early. I suppose a lot could change between now and qualifying and who runs and who doesn't. But I get it from this audience, but I wondered there's something bigger going on out there. Representative, we got to leave it there, but we always appreciate you making time for us.
Yes, sir. Thank you for having me, and y'all have a blessed day.
Thank you. State Representative Shane Stringer there. We got to get a break in here. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Poore Show on FM Talk 106.5.